We're on. Great. Okay, we are now going to give a shiur about a half an hour on the mitzvot that are practical from right now until through Purim, Bezrat Hashem. So first, just to continue, everybody knows, Mishenichnas Adar Marvim Simcha, the Inyan of Simcha is still with us. Baruch Hashem, this Inyan of Simcha lasts from now all the way till Pesach, really. It's not just because of Purim, but the miracles of Purim and Pesach. So we have a lot to be happy for, so we should continue being Sameach in Adar. We're going to read next week's Parsha. Not this week in Nitzaveh, but next week in Parshat Ki Tisa, we talk about the Machzita Shekel. The Machzita Shekel, you know what it was for? So originally in the... What? Very good. Eitan. Eitan Shapir, correct. It is used to count the people back in the time of the Midbar. We see in Parshat Ki Tisa, it opens up Ki Tisa Rosh Bnei Yisrael of Gudeyem. V'nanu ish kofer nafsho, l'Hashem b'fgodotam. So they gave something, a kofer was for their soul. It was an atonement for their soul. And this was when they would count the people, they counted not by 1, 2, 3, but everyone would give a machzita shekel, and that way they'd count up all the half shekel pieces, coins, and they would determine how many people there were. So there it says something very interesting in this halacha. You would think that some people can give more money for this donation, some people less. No. Hashir lo yarbev adal lo yamit b'machzit ha-shekel latet t'trumat Hashem. That the wealthy person shouldn't give more, and the poor person shouldn't give less. This was a donation that was equal to everyone. Of an and the end of the pasuk, lechaper al nafshoteichem. And this was for an akaparak, an atonement. That's the pasuk. So the Mefarshim explained that this Machzita Shekel showed the unity of Am Yisrael. No one would give more or less, but nobody was complete by himself. Everyone give it half. And giving a half shows that you're not complete without your fellow Jew. And that Am Yisrael is not complete without every single Jew who is a member of Klal Yisrael. So that's what was symbolized by the Machzita Shekel. Okay. The Mishnah says that we read in the months of Adar and Nisan, we read four special parshiot. Name them. You're all right, correct. So it's Shkalim, Zachor, Achodesh, Parah and Achodesh. So those are the four parshiot that we read during this period of time. We already read Shkalim, okay? Because once Adar comes in, we read Shkalim. So Parshat Shkalim is one inyan. And then there's another inyan which you see on the bima right next to me, surrounding me here, are the Zecher LeMachzit HaShekel. So we're going to understand both of those things. So the Parsha Shkalim, we read. And the question is, why we read it? Why do we read Parsha Shkalim? So we just read a moment ago that in the Midbar they would take Machzit HaShekel to count the people. And in the Mikdash, they would always give Machzit HaShekel for the purpose of the Korbanos. That they need to have, you know, a good supply of money for the Korbanos. So comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and he quotes the Levush. And the Levush says as follows. He says, there's a Pasuk. There's a Pasuk in Hosea, and it reads as follows. Chuy machem dvarim v'shuvu al Hashem. Imru elav kol tisavon v'kachtov unishalma farim sifateinu. I'll just translate the last few words. You may have recognized the psukim from the Yamin Raim. Unshama parim sifateinu. That instead of our sifateinu, instead of our lips, instead of our tfilot, instead of our korbanot, we should have our lips. That our tfilot come in place of the korbanot. Okay, so today we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. Today we don't bring sacrifices. We don't bring korbanot. So instead of that, we do tfilot. So this concept is not just a concept for a pasuk in Hosea. It's not just, it's for every single thing that we could have done and we can't do, we read the Parsha instead. So give me an example.
Paraduma.
Paraduma, that would be an example, but we don't become tower from reading the Paraduma. What? Rosh Chodesh. Every day when you say korbanos in the morning, why are you doing that? You're saying korbano, those who say, are saying it instead of bringing their korbanot, because we can't bring korbanot. That's unushama farim sefateinu. So says the Levush, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, that today we don't take the Machzit HaShekel. Today there is no Machzit HaShekel. And therefore, in place of that, we read the Parsha of the Machzid HaShekel. That happens every year, right in the beginning of Adar. Comes along, so in other words, he's saying that we are doing this in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Instead of doing the actual giving of the coins, we could be mekayem the mitzvah ke'ilu the best way possible. It's a lower way, but we do it by saying the parsha. Okay, so it's in place of the Machzid HaShekel. The Sefer HaChinuch says something a little bit different. He says we don't do it in place of, we do it to remind ourselves of this mitzvah. We don't want to forget the mitzvah. In order not to forget the mitzvah, we do this every year. We read the parsha called Parshat Shkalim. Okay? So that's what we've done already. Why do we read it before Purim? Any ideas? What? So there really is no essential connection between reading the Parsha of Shkalim and Purim. It just happens to come during that time of year when we used to do it. The Mishnah says, I think, Be'achad, Be'adar, so, Mashmim al Shkalim, whether we there machriz on the Shkalim, that everyone should bring the Shkalim then. So that's the Mishnah says that, but we don't, it doesn't have to be necessarily to remember that mitzvah, to remember it in this time. There is a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara Megillah, who here did Minim Siyam on Gemara Megillah? That's one. There you go. That's two. That's two. Very good. So the Gemara Megillah, Yud Gimel, Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Bet. You remember this? I'm Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says this Gemara finds a connection between Shkalim and Purim. Galui v'yadua lifnei mi shamar v'ya olam. It is known before the one who created the world. Shatid Haman lishkol shkalim al Yisrael, that Haman in the future, he's going to measure out shkalim for Am Yisrael. Remember the story in Megillah Esther, that Haman wanted to basically give money to the king in order for this enactment, right? Levichach ekdim shiklem lishkalav. Therefore, Am Yisrael, we gave our shkalim before Haman gave his shkalim. V'ayinu detzan, that's what it says, b'achad b'adar mashmin al shkalim. And that's what the Mishnah says, that in the first of Adar, we're mashmin al shkalim. We collect the shkalim. So, what is this idea? That we give shkalim to oker the gzeira, to uproot the gzeira, the decree against the Am Yisrael in the time of Mordechai and Esther, right? So, the idea perhaps is as follows. What was Haman's claim to Ahasuerus, why we should get rid of the Jewish people? Yeshnam am echad, mifuzar mifurad, ben amin, right? There's one nation that is dispersed, it's spread out. There's no unity amongst these people. They have no achdus. Wipe them out. Achshavei is like, why not? And so to counter this, what do? We bring a machzid shekel. What does bringing a machzid shekel mean? That we're all halves. We're all halves of a whole. That we're all part of one big nation. That each one of us we're not shalom by ourselves. We can't be complete Jews if we're by ourselves. We have to be part of the community, part of the nation, and therefore we give zeche, we give machzid shekel. Okay, that's the idea. Now the question is, what about what we're doing here on the bima? What about this zeche and machzid shekel? So I want to first emphasize: don't ever say that you're giving machzid shekel. Because Machzid HaShekel was given to the Beis HaMikdash. That was Hekdesh, that was holy. When you would say, this coin is for the Beis HaMikdash, the coin would have holiness, and you're not allowed to use it for anything else. You can't use it for anything. You can't buy Sfarim with it, only for specific Beit HaMikdash needs. So don't ever say, I'm giving this as Machzid HaShekel. What do you say? Zecher, the Machzid HaShekel. So all these things say, Zecher, the Machzid HaShekel. Every single one of them says, except for this one. This one says, Matanot Levyanim. But they're all Zecher, the Machzid HaShekel. Okay? Now, this is a separate thing. There's something called Parshat Shkalim. We read the Parsha. And there's something called giving the coins. They're two separate things. We just read which Parsha last week? Truma. So in Truma it says Truma, the word Truma, three times in the very beginning. So therefore they learn, the Mordechai learns, that's the guy in the back of the Gemara, the Rishon in the back of the Gemara that some people like look at sometimes, right? So it's a big poskim, read the Mordechai very often. And there he brings down, the Mordechai brings down, that you should bring three half shekel pieces, zecher lemachzita shekel, because of the three times that it says truma. Okay, so that's already already in the Mordechai, and it's in that time people were doing this. It was a big machlokas, but the general minhag today, even though the Ramah, even though others say, unlike the Ramah, they say you only have to bring one coin, you don't have to give three coins, still the minhag is to bring three coins. And if you see in many of the things, here, I think Rav Hartstein did here, he put three half shekel pieces in a beautiful Leva Torah disc case, so it doesn't fall out. So you can you pick this up, and you see you redeem this with your money, and you pick it up, and you say, Zechel, Mitzvah Shekel, you're giving three half shekels, and that's how you do it. That's it. You put money in it and redeem it. How much do you have to give? So the general minhag is, whatever country you're in, you give the half currency of that country. And in America, you used to give half dollars. In other countries, they have currency. In Israel, we give half shekels because we're in Israel. That's true for the Ashkenazim. Sfardim, on the other hand, so their makbid, generally, the Kaf HaChaim says you should give the amount of the actual silver value, which is probably around 40 shekels. So 1.5 shekels Ashkenazi, 40 shekels Sfardi. Rice on Pesach. No, kidney oat, 40 shekels. It's a package deal. So, anyway, okay. So that's okay. You got to decide, guys. If you're not defined, this is gonna make okay. All right. What age? There is a discussion amongst the posting. What age should a person start giving machzita zecher lemachzita shekel? In the Torah, they were counting up. They want to know how big the army was. What age did they start counting? 20. At age 20. So all you guys thinking of doing the army next year, you got to wait till you're 20. So in the meantime, you should be learning a little bit extra. And then Shana Bet V'chetzi, whatever it is. And then you go into the army. But 20 is when you start giving the Zeichelach. That's one opinion. Other opinions are no. Just like every mitzvah, when you're bar mitzvah, you start doing it. There's a minhag. So you give it when you're 13. And there are opinions this way and that way. Does a woman have to give? Well, women didn't give in the Midbar. So we say, no, today, generally speaking, although the Magen Avraham says really 20 and up is really the obligation for men, and that's it. Others argue, and they say, no, today it's not exactly what it was in the Midbar, and it was just a minhag, and therefore the minhag really applies to everybody. Everyone should give it. Okay, that's the short answer. Mishnah Berurah, by the way, says, even give it for your unborn children, meaning if your wife's pregnant, not for your unborn children, but if you're married and you have a pregnant wife, that she should even give, if they're twins, give twice, right? Even for unborn children. But the bottom line is, whatever your minig is, once you start, don't stop, continue doing that, okay? Do you have to give half coins? So the meaning is to give half coins. So there's the Tzitz Eliezer says, if you don't have half coins, what do? You take three shekels and you say three shekels, right? And half of it should be for zecher machzir shekel, and half will just go to tzedakah. Do you have to give coins at all? Can you give bills? The same thing, really. Where it's not such a makbid halach. You have to give. You can even give bills. You can even give checks. The larger, the better. And the question is, Where does this money go? Where does this money go? So there is a machlokas where the money should go. One opinion is that it should go to poor people, and other opinion, Rav Avad Yosef felt very strongly, for example, that it should go for a Talmud Torah. So the minhag, you can give it this way or that way, they're both fine. Okay. Parshat Zachar. When do we read Parshat Zachar? This Shabbos. Why this Shabbos? Right before Purim. Very good. Okay. So the Zachor at Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, Bederech B'Tzeitcha Mitzrayim, who's Parsha? You just know that. There are a number of halachas about this. First of all, we just said, you read it, the Shabbos before Purim, and that is what we do. It wasn't so clear from the Torah when this obligation is. It just says, remember what Amalek did to you. Well, how often do you have to remember that? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, once every year or two, or three, it's fine, you know. So that's what he said when he wrote his Perush. The Minchat Chinuch commenting on that says, even you could really say, even once in your lifetime is enough to be Yotzei the mitzvah deraita of Zechar Amalek, remembering Amalek. However, Chatam Sofer says, he brings a proof that really should be every year. Every year you should say it. And this is a good time, obviously, because it's right before Purim. Although the Mishnah Berurah says that you could be Yotzei with even the reading from B'Shalach. B'Shalach also mentions Amalek. Amalek is mentioned twice, once in Sefer Shmot and once in Sefer Dvarim. And we read the one from Dvarim, but you could be Yotzei in the one from Shmot as well. So that is a halacha brought down. The nafkamina is if a person's sick. Let's say you missed Amalek. You're in the hospital. You couldn't hear. You missed the kriya. So what are you going to do? So you could rely on the Mishnah Berurah that when it rolls around Parshat B'Shalach, you could listen to that and be Yotzei the mitzvah once a year as well. Okay, so that's it. Any questions about Amalek? Yeah.
Do we give half shekels or we give one half shekel?
So there are different minhagim. We like to always give as much stuck as possible, so we give three half a shekels. But really, there's a minhag giving one is fine as well. Okay. In terms of the reading, you have to make sure. Yes, my Sephardic friend.
Is it 340 shekels?
No. 40 shekels is enough. Okay. You need to have kavana to be the yotzei the mitzvah of. Remembering Amalek. So when the Baal Koreh, they were very, very makbid. Like, all year round, all sorts of things happen in shul. But shuls all around the world, for this parsha, all of a sudden is silent, deathly silent. You know? Except for the Ezra's Nashim, because women always think, yeah, it's a mitzvah to bring a baby so no one can hear.
Yeah.
But people come in, and you have to have kavana. Not only do you have to have kavana to be Yotzei, but the Baal Koreh who's reading, he's reading on your behalf, he has to have Kavana to be Motzi you. See, right? So that's number two. And not only that, but the guy who's getting the Aliyah, when he says the Brachot, he's being Motzi you with the Brachot as well, so you have to have in mind to be Yotzei with his Brachot, and he has to have in mind to be Motzi you. So usually you have someone who gets the Aliyah who knows that, and he has in mind to be Motzi everybody as well. So that's very important. Okay. There is, you'll note it, yeah.
Do you have to hear it at a shul if you're like custom Sparta would have to hear it?
Right. It is a nice thing to do. You don't have to. It's a nice thing to hear it in the way that you're custom. If it's Ashkenazis, if it's Sfaradit, if it's the Trup, you know, the Tamei Mikra, how to read them, a Yemenite, you know, there are many different ways to read it. We've done different things in the past in Leva Torah. Rav Sib feels very insistent that there should be one reading, really, and because you really are Yotzei. However, what we can do is after the reading, meaning after the brachot, the Birchat Torah are done, we can have another reading without the brachot, just to be mahader, to give do a hidur. Yeah. So we say that you should read Parshat Zachar in a minyan, right? And Dafka the Parsha in Sefer Dvarim, okay? Again, Mishnah Berurah says Sefer Shmot as well, but Megillat Esther doesn't seem like an accepted option to be Yotzei Zichir Amalek. Sorry. But we could also get up on time on Shabbos morning to make sure that we hear it on time. And that's also a good thing to do throughout the year. Okay. You'll notice that when we read Parshat Zachar, there's one pasuk that's repeated twice. The Zecher and Zecher, right? It's a question whether there is under the letter Zayin, is there a Tsere or a Segol? Is it Zecher Amalek or Zecher Amalek, right? So that's a question. So the prevalent minhag in the Ashkenazi communities is to read it twice. Either read that phrase twice, read the whole pasuk twice. So don't correct the Baal Koreh. He knows what he's doing. And there's another show. I think Rav Sib will be laning for us once again this year. Okay, Tanit Esther. That's any questions again on Amalek? Machzid Zecher, Machzid Shekel? Great. Tanit Esther is today. We all know it's a very big question. Why are we fasting today? What is this all about? Throw out some possible possibilities, guys. Why are you fasting today?
Esther's fast.
Okay, what else?
The battle
that was decreed against the battle, day of the battle. Yom Kippur.
To do
tshuva for our time. But why today? Why today? Why call it Tanit Esther? So again, the Shibulei Lechet, he says that it's to remember Esther's fast. Esther's fast dafka was on Pesach. But we remember it now because we're reading the Megillah, you know, on Purim, so remember it in proximity to Purim. And Rashi says it's just a minhag ba'alma. This is just a minhag. You don't even really need to do it, according to Rashi. He's very, very, and he says that, you know, he criticizes people who are very, very stringent with this fast. It's not a real fast. It's not a real fast. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, he's a little bit more insistent, and he says that it's dafka achiv de rabbanan. It's achiv de rabbanan. It's a rabbinic obligation, and we must do this fast. And he quotes, like was quoted, it's a yom kila lakol. It is the time that in the Megillah, when it says everyone got together to go to the battle, so they battled, it was Yud Gimel when they got together, and the minhag in general was to fast before the battle, to do tshuva so that we should be successful in our battles. And that's what he says. The Ravid is a third opinion. He says it actually comes from the pasuk in Megillat Esther. Towards the very end it says, L'keyem yimei ha'purim e'le bizmaneihem, Kasher kiyam aleihem Mordechai Yehudi v'Esther Malka, v'chasher kimu al nafsham v'alzeram divrei hatzomot v'zakatam. I will translate that to English. To be mekayim, to establish the days of Purim in their time, just like Mordechai Yehudi and Esther the queen did, that they established upon themselves and upon their seed, their children, divrei tzomot, the words of these fasts, v'zakatam, and their cries. In other words, there was a kiyum, they made a decree to fast during this time. It actually comes from the Megillah itself, which is a very strong source. The Shulchan Aruch says, and we all know, that if there's any fast that we could be makil on, it's certainly Tanit Esther. Tanit Esther is the weakest of all obligations. And he writes, actually, straight out, the fast is not an obligation. He says, and therefore, you could be, when you have a time of need, you could be lenient in the fast. That's he says it. And he gives examples. What's the classic example? A pregnant woman. Or a nursing woman. Very good. So you guys will never be either. But you could be a sick patient. But that also would be a case. Fine. Mikra Megillah. Reading the Megillah. How many times do you have to read the Megillah?
Twice.
Any other possibilities?
Four.
When is four a possibility? So now we'll get into this exactly. So, first of all, there's those people who live in unwalled cities, they read on the 14th. Those people who live in walled cities, they read on?
15th.
15th, very good. What are walled cities and what are non-walled cities? So the Gemara already says, it's a walled city from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, right? That's the qualification for a walled city. So, which cities are walled today? It's the only one you know for sure is Yerushalayim. There's discussion about Akko, Beit El, Tveria, Lod, Shiloh, Tzvat. There are discussion about all these things, and Rav Enkin, of course, likes to put in Beit Shemesh in the mix here. Which is it's a good question, but the poskim generally they say Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim. Those are the three correct answers for walled cities. And anywhere else that there are questions, there's some and Shushan, right? And Shushan. Anywhere else where there's a question that we generally would read Lechumra on Tetvav, but we don't treat it as a walled city. Generally, you ask your local posik if you live in one of those questionable places. In Beit Shemesh, the psak was made by the chief rabbis of Beit Shemesh that it's Yud Dalet, certainly for the 14th, and that's what everyone does. Okay. By the way, in Chutz La'aretz, there are also questions. There are some ancient cities which could be, Damascus, Istanbul. They may be a walled city, but we don't know. Prague, also a very ancient city. We don't know. You know, Baghdad. Could be, I don't know. don't know if it had a wall back then. But anyhow, but we don't know. So we generally don't live in those cities, please. Okay? All right, so that's the walled city. And the non-walled cities is Yodalit. So if you're a Ben Ir, meaning you live in a non-walled city, so then you'd read on the 14th. If you're a Ben Krach, you'd read on the 15th. That's simple as that. But it's not so simple. Because the question is, if you want to visit your friends in Jerusalem, let's say you want to go to Yerushalayim on Tedvav, so then what's the deal? So there is a lot of discussion. I'm going to make it very simple for you. Okay? Don't go to Yerushalayim at the nighttime, and you'll avoid all problems. If you want to go just during the day, and then according to everybody, if you go during the day to visit, you know, whatever you want to see, so that then you're not chayav in the mitzvah of the yom, you're still considered ben ir, you don't have to read the Megillah again. However, if you should decide, and you're allowed to, if you should decide that you want to go after all the celebrations are over here in Leva Torah on Sunday night, right? We're going to have Davin Marv probably at 9:30. We'll talk about that in a minute. You want to go to Yerushalayim. You want to see your friends in Torah Chiraga, other places, Shibat HaKotel, whatever it is, and you want to go there. So it depends. The halacha, again, there are different opinions. I'm telling you what seems to be an accepted opinion. What's your intention when you go? If you go Sunday night to Yerushalayim and you're planning to sleep there, and you do sleep there, so then it's not a question. Then you are considered a Ben Krach for that day. You're considered a walled city dweller. And therefore, you're chayav in all the mitzvot of Purim. Okay? Therefore, you need to make sure that you hear the Megillah reading on Sunday night when you go to Yerushalayim. Okay? That's not so simple. I understand that there's some places that they have Megillah readings all the time. You can catch one, you know, every like hour on the hour. You have to find out where that is, and you have to hear the Megillah then. It's not so simple. And then the next day, you got to, again, do Mishloach Manot and Matanot Lev Yonim. Here, Mikra Megillah, again, you have to do all the mitzvot of the day, again. So it's probably best not to do that, especially because you have to hear the Megillah on Sunday night. So that's a tricky thing. Okay, that's number one. Okay, let's say you go and you say, no, I'm going to go Sunday night to see my friends. I want to see what's going on over there. Then I'm going to come back to Beit Shemesh. Okay, if you do that, then you're not a walled city dweller. Right? And therefore, you don't have to keep the mitzvah there. But let's say your intention was, I'm going to go there, I'm going to come back. You really, really meant that. And somehow you got caught up taking care of a friend there, whatever it was. You got caught up, and you are now, you wake up, and you're in the morning, the sun rises, and all of a sudden, you're a city dweller. Right? Or you think you are. So if your intention was not to go there, and again, this is the machlokas, but this is how we're going to say. If your intention was to come back, and you happen to get stuck there, for whatever reason, we're going to go by the intention. And therefore, you don't have to do the Mikra Megillah, you don't have to do any of those mitzvah the next day, etc., etc., okay? So it goes by your intention. Again, there is a machlokas, but that's what we're going to say, okay? Next. Any question on that? Great. Okay. Mikra Megillah itself, hearing the Megillah itself, you have to hear every word. It's a nice thing to have to hear, read it from a klaf, but really only the person who's being motzi, everyone else, has to have a klaf. It's a nice thing, it's good to read it from a klaf, but you should hear every single word, okay? Try not to fall asleep at all during the Mikra Megillah, because really you should follow every single word. If you miss some words, because let's say the Bal Korah, after the Haman, he just kept running through, and you missed because everyone was given the, you know, so then, if you missed some words, you should read it yourself. You should read those words yourself. And therefore, it's better to have a Megillah, so you're reading it from a kosher Megillah. There are a few psukim, four psukim we say out loud. You know which ones they are? Right? So these are psukim of Geula. We read them all out loud. It's not considered a hefsek in our Mikra Megillah. It's totally fine to do that. That's Minhag Yisrael. And there's another minhag that on a Aseret Yemei Haman, what do? Everyone says it. B'neshima achat. You have to, like, this is like the test. You breathe in deep. Aseret Yemei Haman, right? Everyone in one breath. So there are those who say, I think it's the Shagas Aryeh says, why do you have to do that? Like the Sheikh Tzibur is the Baal Korah, the Baal Makri is he's being motzi you in everything. Why do you have to do the Aseret Bnei Haman? So they say that he can be motzi all the words, but the Neshima Achat, that is your own Neshima. You have to have your own breath. The one breath is to say all of Aseret Bnei Haman in one breath. That's something that only you could do. Okay, fine. Suda, okay. We spoke at length the other day about drinking on Purim, so we're not going to go back there. But we did not speak about one thing. And that is, if you are inebriated, or tipsy, or drunk, or any of the words that you want to use, on Purim, can you bench? How many people here think you're not allowed to bench if you're drunk? Wow, you are from. And how many people here think you can't daven if you're drunk? Okay, so there is a difference between benching and davening. Benching, as long as you can say the words and you know what you're doing, you can do it even if you're inebriated. That you're allowed to do. However, davening, you're not supposed to do when you're drunk. Davening you should not do when you're drunk, because you're standing before the king. And it's not proper for a drunk person to stand before the king. So what you need to do is, you need to wait some time until you feel that you totally have all your faculties, and then you could daven, daven tefillah, daven shemoneh esrei, okay? That's why in the yeshiva what we're doing is we're having davening in the regular time probably, or maybe a little early, we'll see. But we're having, everyone's going to get together, and an hour or so is going to go by until people are going to be much more in a state of davening, then we'll all daven together as one yeshiva marav. The minhag Yisrael is to daven mincha before the seuda. Why do you think that's the case? Because you're going to drink at the seuda. So you daven mincha first to avoid that issue. Okay. Matanot levyonim. Matanot, plural. Levyonim, plural. You give two gifts to two aniyim. Today, we always give to the gabayim. I am a gabbai for this. We have an organization, local organization called Chasdei Shiloh. Besides that, you have Kupa Shel Tzedakah, you have the Manachai, two big organizations that collect for Aniyim. So any organization that you're going to give to, you're fine. You give 100 shekels, it's 50 and 50. You know, like they'll split it up, it's fine. You can give to one organization, they'll give to many Aniyim, thousands of Aniyim, hundreds of Aniyim, and that's fine. So whatever you give, whether you give it to a rabbi, or whether you give it to an organization, once you give it, That's considered matanot, lev yonim, and that's fine. Yes, sir?
If you give one present to 1,000 yonim, is that...
They have to split it? What are you saying?
No, it's going to be one guy wine, one guy, and 1,000 people, one thing.
Once you did two, you're yotze.
But not two gifts to two people. One gift?
One, no.
One gift to 1,000 people.
What do you mean one gift to 1,000? You're going to say, hey, 1,000 people, you're going to split this bottle of wine. What are you saying?
No, you give one gift to 1,000 people, you give anybody one gift.
That's fine. It doesn't have to be two different gifts. It could be the same gift. And generally, the gift is really money. That's what they need. They don't need our wine. They need our money. So we give them money. Who's an Evyon? Who's considered a poor person for this? So we say that anybody that asks, we give. Call a poshet yado not nimlo. Anyone who asks for money on Purim, we give. But who really is considered someone who's an Evyon? The answer is someone who doesn't have enough money to support himself and his kids, his family. If he can't make it at the end of the month, he's considered an evyon, and that's considered matanot levyonim. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people like that out there. A lot of people out there. So that is matanot levyonim. We're almost done. For those who come special with this mincha, many of you left already. Okay. Can you give matanot levyonim from your meiser money? What do you think?
No.
Those who answer no are correct. You cannot. That's Meiser money is, if you hold that Meiser money is an obligation, so that should only be for Meiser. This is a separate obligation. You can't use your Meiser money to pay any debts or to fulfill any obligations. Okay, Mishloach Manot. Mishloach Manot, what should you give? Right, to how many people? Right, two things to one person. Some people get this idea that it has to be two different brachas. It's not true. There's no source for that. You can give two things with the same bracha, that's fine. Just two different things. Don't give two pieces of salami. The same, you know, like, give two different foods. You can even give drinks. That's also fine for Matlov Yonim. Since it is time for Mincha, I'm just going to quickly finish with the following. There is a lot of Simcha on Purim. And Simcha can cause, sometimes there are damages that are caused within the Simcha of Purim. So it's brought down in the Halacha that if you damage something because of the Simcha of Purim, you don't have to pay. So Mr. Burr just makes a distinction. It's one thing. It was one time there was we had a masiba, and I was showing off doing something in the dancing, and then someone tried to do the same thing to me and kicked me in the head, and then he broke my glasses. So that he didn't pay for, and I didn't ask him to pay for it. I felt that was part of the simcha, etc., etc. He was 6'4". He was like, he should have been able to clear my head, but he was not. Anyway, that was that. But if it's like, if you're just, oh, we were fooling around with fire, we blew up someone's car, that you'd have to pay for. A big damage is something you'd have to pay for. A small damage you wouldn't have to pay for. Fine. In the spirit of the day, Simcha, and there are many reasons given that people dress up, there is a machlokas in the post-team whether you're allowed to cross-dress. We paskin, you're not allowed to cross-dress. Meaning, you should not dress as a woman. So please don't do that. And if someone had that idea as a costume, sorry, come up with a different idea. We don't allow that here. It is not in good taste. The same thing is true in terms of Purim spiels. So, very often, people put on spiels and they imitate people. The general klal is as follows. If the person's going to be flattered by your imitation, then it's totally mutter, it's fine. We assume that people give permission for that. But if the person is going to be insulted or hurt or embarrassed, so please be very, very careful. There's no heter to embarrass people on Purim as a rule. So that is that. Any final questions on any of the halacha that I mentioned or didn't mention before we dive in? Yes?
Matanas Lev Yonim, if you give more than what's necessary, can't the rest of it be miser money?
Yes, absolutely. The miser money can be used anything above the obligation. The obligation itself should not be for miser money. That should be something. And parenthetically, a person, it's brought down in many places that a person should give more to Matanot Lev Yonim than he does for Mishloach Manot. So a good marker for yourself, how much should I give? Well, how much Mishloach Manot do I want to give? I want to spend 100 shekels on Mishloach Manot, so I should spend 200 shekels on Matanot Lev Yonim. You can give whatever it is you're planning on spending on Mishloach Manot, give more for Matanot Lev Yonim. Yes.
For Mishloach Manot, could it be like two different flavors or something? Or like, let's say like you give like clip bar or something. You get two different types of clip bars?
I think that's close enough to be the same thing. I wouldn't say it's two different things.
And does it have to be something that's used at the meal? Or could it be like...
Some people say, but Lamaisa, no, it doesn't have to be something that's used for the meal. Like some people say that you shouldn't give non-cooked food. You didn't get a can of beans. Not baked beans. So yeah, that because the guy can't use it for the meal. So we should. It's better to give things that are ready, but you don't have to. Yeah.
If you put in, like, let's say you fulfill the obligation of putting in like the toothpaste, can you put in other stuff that like, necessarily is not edible?
Yeah. Once you've done the mitzvah, you could add whatever you want. Yeah.
Can you read the Megillah in English while they're reading it in Hebrew?
As long as you hear the Megillah being read in Hebrew, you could follow in English. That's fine. But you need to hear the words in Hebrew, yeah.
What
idea
of like a sefer as like a not edible
at all? That's a nice gift, but it's not Mishloach Manot. Manot are manot of foods, portions of food. Yeah.
You can
fine?
Give me a sefer if you want.
Any final questions? Okay, we're going to dive in Mincha right now.
Awesome question.